It's a wake-up call in more ways than one. Time for some you need to know.
All right, well, we're starting with some local news because former Republican Governor Tommy Thompson is backing Tom Tiffany in this year's race for governor. This is a coveted endorsement for Tiffany, and it ends months of speculation about whether Tommy Thompson would join the race himself. I would hope not. Tommy Thompson is 84 years old, and based on the conversation we had the other day, that is too old. And that's no shade on people in their 80s. What it is shade on is politicians who think they can still govern effectively and represent the widest number of people at that advanced age. So we don't have Tommy Thompson not running again. Tom Tiffany is running. He just got endorsed by Tommy Thompson. Tiffany heads into the state GOP convention next week with endorsements from Thompson and President Trump, two key supporters in a Wisconsin Republican campaign for governor. Trump's endorsement prompted Tiffany's only major competitor in the GOP field, Washington County Executive Josh Shulman, to drop out of the race, which made Tom Tiffany the de facto Republican nominee, which he remains. Now, you may remember, unless you're new to Wisconsin, Tommy Thompson was governor between 1987 and 2001. He had said in October that he was, quote, seriously considering joining the Republican primary for governor, and as recently as April told the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel he saw encouraging polling on a potential return. But Thompson, who I mentioned before, is 84. He decided against a run. He said, "I've spent my entire career fighting for my neighbors, my country, and my state. I love Wisconsin, and growing up in Elroy instilled in me the values that shaped my time as governor." That was a statement that he shared, that was shared by the Tiffany campaign. And he says, "Tom Tiffany comes from those same Wisconsin roots." Thompson has said the state has to keep reforming and moving forward. That is what Tommy said about Tom Tiffany. Thompson was elected governor four times and served as President George W. Bush's health secretary. So there you go, Tom Tiffany. And we know the August primary for the Democrats is coming up. Still no movement. We still have seven candidates running, and we've talked to most of them. We are actually going to talk on Friday to Francesca Hunk, correct? Yes, Friday. Francesca will be on the program. So we will talk to her, and we've reached out to Tom Tiffany as well to try to get him to join the program and talk about his run for governor. So far, we have not had any response from the Tiffany campaign, but that doesn't mean we're not trying, and we would welcome, you know, I would love to hear from Tom Tiffany, so we're not just relying on news reports and statements from other people. We'd love to hear from Tom Tiffany himself and let him come on and make his case to be your next governor. All right, we mentioned this before, but the hantavirus is here. Passengers on the cruise ship hit with the deadly virus were disembarking yesterday in Spain's Canary Islands. Now, this was, if you watch this, it was a very carefully coordinated repatriation, which is just bringing people back onto land, and monitoring mission. It includes several evacuations over the next couple days. The first plane bound for Madrid departed carrying Spanish nationals who will be treated at the military hospital. We talked to you before, and I will tell you about it again, that there are a French woman and two Americans did test positive or showed symptoms of the hantavirus today as nations around the world scrambled to repatriate their passengers. One of the 17 American passengers evacuated from the ship and flown to Nebraska also tested positive for the virus, not showing any symptoms. Another one had mild symptoms, according to U.S. health officials. The flight landed in the early hours of this morning in Nebraska. They were taking the patients to the University of Nebraska Medical Center. That's where they have the federally funded quarantine facility. Pardon me. Quarantine facilities always make me have some sort of viral reaction. It's like somebody yells out Marco, I say Polo. So I talk about quarantine facilities, I start to cough. So the director of the World Health Organization has stressed, and we will stress this too so that you're not going to panic, do not be worried about the outbreak. According to the WHO, quote, this is not another COVID, and the risk to the public is low, so the public should not be scared, they should not panic, end quote. So try not to panic and try not to worry too much about it, even though I'm sure we are all a little bit worried about it, especially when yesterday an official from the administration was on saying, well, it's impossible. It's impossible to get Hunter virus from person-to-person contact. And I'm like, no, that's literally how they got it on the boat, person-to-person contact. So listen to the World Health Organization. Maybe take whatever you hear from the administration with a grain of salt. FIFA matches. You know, the World Cup's coming. Parker, you're not a soccer fan despite wearing a soccer jersey today.
This is true. It's a cool jersey, though.
I am not a, I have no animus towards soccer or football, as they say on Ted Lasso, football is life. But the World Cup matches set to be held across the U.S. are now facing heightened terrorism risks, with experts warning that vulnerabilities are being amplified by the U.S.-Israeli conflict with Iran and a depletion of counterterrorism expertise within federal law enforcement. Gee, why is that? Oh, yeah, they laid all those people off. The biggest threat stems from homegrown violent extremists, often lone actors that may have become radicalized online by extreme political views, or jihadists, such as the Islamic State, which is ISIS, said four counterterror experts that were interviewed for this story. We need to protect not only each venue, but all the other links in the chain that get to the point of the game, said Javed Ali, associate professor of the University of Michigan, who previously served with the FBI Department of Homeland Security and as a National Security Council senior director for counterterrorism. Now, in March, the FBI held large residential training exercises on domestic threats, bringing together agents from across the country who work in domestic terrorism ahead of major national security, such as the World Cup. The U.S. is experienced, as we know, at securing large-scale stadium events such as the Super Bowl, but the sheer number of World Cup matches will require an unprecedented level of coordination. The Department of Homeland Security has announced that the final match, which will be at MetLife Stadium in East Rutherford, New Jersey, will be designated as, quote, a national special security event. It makes sense that all of these, which are going to draw huge crowds, even though there has been some worry about ticket prices, so I don't know. I'm sure that they're still going to sell out, but right now people are still, you know, especially in New York at MetLife, there's nowhere they've taken all the parking lots away. They've decided they were going to jack up the train tickets. So now what's usually like a $15, $20 train ticket to get from New York out to New Jersey is now going to be over $100. Just to take the train, and then you have to walk almost a mile from the train to get to the stadium. So I'm going to pass on World Cup soccer. But I can see where the concern comes from. You've got to figure it. And quite frankly, we've been very fortunate in the U.S. that all these big events, whether it's the Super Bowl, whether it's the Final Four, whether we've all, you know, or any sporting event, we've been lucky, or we've been lucky that we haven't heard about it as the public. Because I don't think we need to hear about every potential attack that is stopped. That's what the authorities are for, and that's, I trust they're going to do their job. But something like this, where you're bringing in a global audience, is something that should be of concern and is of concern, and we will monitor this as it goes forward. I don't know why only the final would be designated as a national special security event. But as long as they're looking at everything, that's fine. And finally, the remains of a U.S. soldier who went missing during military exercises in Morocco a week ago were recovered in the Atlantic Ocean, the Army said yesterday. Military teams are still searching for a second missing soldier. The remains were those of First Lieutenant Kendrick Lamont Key Jr., a 14A Air Defense Artillery officer who was one of two U.S. soldiers who fell off a cliff during a recreational hike in Morocco while off duty. He was 27 years old. The two were reported missing May 2nd after participating in African Lion, an annual multinational military exercise held in Morocco. According to U.S. Army Europe and Africa, U.S. Army spokespeople in Europe and Africa, they said a Moroccan military search team found the soldier in the water along the shoreline at approximately 8:55 a.m. local time May 9th, within roughly 1 mile of where both soldiers reportedly entered the ocean. The two went missing around 9 p.m. near the Cape Draw training area outside Tantan, a terrain characterized by mountains, desert, and semi-desert plains, according to the Moroccan military. Search efforts will continue for the missing second soldier, according to a U.S. defense official talking to the Associated Press. Well, the official said a U.S. contingent remained in Morocco after the war games ended Friday to provide command and control and to continue search for the rescue operations. So thank goodness at least those first remains were found and family can get a little bit of closure. We'll see. Hopefully we get the remains of that second soldier.